Welcome to another post-game edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined today by columnist Jenny Carlson, and we're coming to you after the Thunder's 128-101 loss to the Phoenix Suns on Monday afternoon. This one was kind of strange from the start. The Thunder down five of its top six scorers, three starters, Steven Adams out, Danilo Gallinari out, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nerlens Noel, the list goes on and on. Dennis Schroeder still not in the bubble.
It's a shorter list, Joe, to say who played. For crying out loud, the didn't play list was a mile long.
That's what I should have led with. But, like, given all of those absences, this is kind of a result that you would have expected today, right?
Actually, I thought the Thunder hung in there better, longer than I initially feared. When you've got Devin Booker on the other side, you know, things can go south real quick, even if you've got a full complement of players. And then obviously, when he tag teams with DeAndre Ayton, I mean, it can really go south. Ayton was missing for the first quarter. I know we'll talk about that a little bit. Had a missed coronavirus test on Sunday, then had to retest Monday. Got that negative result back and was ferried over to the arena. I can only imagine did he catch an Uber? Like, how did this work, Joe?
The drama. I love that. That's my favorite part of the game. It's like, when is DeAndre Ayton gonna arrive? It's great.
So the Thunder, I mean, the fact that they didn't have Steven Adams, they didn't have Nerlens Noel, to me, you know, they had some guys they could throw at Devin Booker, and they did, and held him, air quotes, to, I think, 35 points. So, you know, the guys, he's been playing great and played great again today against the Thunder. But then how do you deal with Ayton, you know, when Mike Muscala is your only available center? You know, I thought they really hung in there better, longer than maybe you would have thought looking at who they had available. They were down one at halftime. Suns came out in the second half, kind of put a little run on, gave them the distance that, you know, they then held the Thunder at arms like the rest of the second half. But, you know, I think there were not as many bright spots as you would hope, but there were a few here and there for the Thunder.
Yeah, and we'll get to a few of those. Before we get into the game too much, I will say that it didn't sound like any of the injuries are serious, or maybe not even injuries. Like, this is definitely a rest situation for the Thunder. Every team plays one back-to-back in the bubble, and this was the Thunder's first and only one, second night of a back-to-back after playing the Wizards on Sunday. So I kind of expected Gallinari to be out because he's usually out on the second night of a back-to-back. And he was out. I wasn't expecting Shai to be out. Didn't know Steven's status. So, you know, Billy said before the game that none of them are significant injuries. He did say something that was very interesting to me, and I didn't get a chance to follow up post-game, is he said he's not sure when they'll have their full complement of players. And to me, that means Dennis Schroeder, because he's still sort of the wild card. So definitely not a team at full strength. And like you said, when Ayton came in, the Thunder scored 37 points in the first quarter, and you're like, holy cow, how are they doing this? And then Ayton comes in, there's just no one to match up with him. And I don't think it's a coincidence that, like, that's when the Suns began their run.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to admit, I haven't seen a ton of the Suns this year. And what you do see in highlights is oftentimes Devin Booker doing Devin Booker things. So, you know, I hadn't seen Ayton for quite the stretch that we got to see him today. And he's impressive. I mean, he's still a very young player. But you can definitely see defensively, offensively, you know, just the effect he had on that game. He was able to score in by the basket. He was able to affect the way, you know, the Thunder was scoring, going from those 37 points in the first quarter to, I think, what, 4 of 24 in the second quarter was a stat our good buddy.
In the third quarter, yeah.
In the third quarter. I mean, that was sort of the way it was trending. You could definitely see that the Thunder's shots were harder to come by, more difficult to make. So, you know, I think that's definitely, you know, you got to give some props to, you know, good players when they're playing, you know, that at that level. And I thought he was good. And I think that is where the game turned for the Thunder.
Yeah. The Thunder had 37 points in that first quarter, and then they scored 37 points the whole second half. So the offense was trending in the wrong direction. Anytime Chris Paul sat, they were just at a huge disadvantage because they've got, you know, you've got three pretty competent point guards on this roster, and Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, two of them are out today. Lu Dort kind of played backup point guard. Darius Bazley played some point guard. Devin Hall, like a lot of guys Thunder fans aren't really used to. I wrote about Chris Paul after the game because his was a name I expected to be on that injury report. Like, resting, he's your 35-year-old point guard. He's had injury problems in the past, has stayed healthy this year. And he was like, after the game, he said, no, like, I've had injuries in the past, so when I am healthy, I want to be out there and play. So I thought that was kind of cool to hear his perspective about that.
Yeah, and I think that early going, I mean, what you just said, Joe, when he sat out, there was definitely a huge disadvantage for the Thunder. And to me, that just reiterates something that we've talked about in so many different ways this season, is just Chris Paul's impact on this team. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think back to basically a year ago, I mean, we were right out a year ago that Chris Paul comes to Oklahoma City in a trade. I was definitely of the opinion that he would not be here by the end of the season. Now we've had the longest regular season in NBA history, and he's still here. And, you know, I think impacting this franchise in the moment, impacting this franchise in the future. He wasn't named as a finalist for MVP, one of the three guys that made the final list for MVP. I don't know if anybody's been more important to the fate of their franchise this season, a team that was, you know, given basically no chance of making the playoffs, now sits in the, you know, in the middle of the eight that are going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference, have a chance still to, you know, maybe get to that four spot. I just think his importance to what the Thunder does, what they did today, what they're going to do these next two seeding games and into the playoffs, you can't overstate how important he is.
No, and I think it'll be interesting because, you know, he has played himself into the All-NBA conversation. So I would expect him to be on one of those three All-NBA teams, which is something he hasn't done for several years. So that would be quite the accomplishment. Today, he didn't shoot the ball great. He was 3 of 9, 1 of 5 from 3, 14 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. But, like, honestly, the numbers don't matter a ton in this game since – they didn't really stand a chance to begin with, but I just thought it was interesting that he was out there when a lot of the other key rotational guys were not. The other takeaway from this game that goes way beyond the result is the continued strong play of Darius Bazley. A day after a career-high 23 points, he recorded his first double-double against the Suns, 22 points, 10 rebounds in 35 minutes. He just looks like a different player to me than the one we saw in March before the season was suspended.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I wrote about him, so I dove into some of those numbers you're talking about, Joe. And a double-double today. He was became the first Thunder rookie since Domantas Sabonis in January of 2017 to record a double-double. You know, and if you'd have said that it was going to be a 22-point, 10-rebound day, before the restart began, I think a lot of people would have said, no way. If he gets a double-double, it's like 10 and 10, or 11 and 10. So to have 22 and to continue a streak of, you know, really impressive games, his scoring average in the 6 restart games is a little over 12. Before the restart, he was averaging 4.7 points a game. Mm-hmm. So I know that this is a smaller sample size than the 53 games he played in before the break, but you're still talking about, you know, it's not like he had 60 points in a game and hasn't scored anything in anything else. We've seen sort of a continued evolution, 12 three games ago, 23, as you mentioned, on Sunday, and then at 22 today, and his shooting percentages are up too. So he's more efficient and scoring more. So you're just seeing so many different aspects of his game, you know, trending upward. And, you know, it's really fascinating. You know, I and I think most people are really excited about Lu Dort. He's, you know, has such energy and, you know, enthusiasm, and you can just really see his impact on the game. I'm interested to see where he goes, you know, in coming years, especially with that contract that gets him into, you know, not only is he going to play the games, he's going to practice with this team, which he wasn't doing before, which still boggles my mind. But at the same time, Baisley is 20 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of wonder, is he the sidekick Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will have looking into the future for this franchise? Is he, you know, the guy that, you know, rides along with Shai as they, you know, continue this rebuild, if you will. So, you know, I think it is really interesting to see the way he's evolving. He looks so much more comfortable, so much more under control, just really having a huge impact on, you know, just on the overall play of this team. I think it'll be interesting to see where he fits in the playoffs, how much he's out there.
Yeah, I mean, this was a guy that, you know, I thought he would have a role during these seeding games. I wasn't sure he was going to be a part of the rotation in the playoffs, but now it looks like he'll definitely be in that playoff rotation. He, like you said, he's shooting the ball better. He's shooting the ball more confidently. Even some like step back threes, just like stuff you wouldn't have normally seen from him. It almost feels like this is more of what you might have anticipated going into a second year than his rookie season. Like, it was such a long break. He's 20 years old. Yeah, you grow up pretty fast in a 4-month span as a 20 year old. So like, I almost think you can see more growth in some of these younger guys than you would in some of the veterans during this restart, because it's like a completely different scenario for them. They've got different roles. They've got different skill sets. They got stronger. So he's definitely a part of the Thunder's core. And he was such a wild card when he got drafted. Like, let's see here, 23rd overall, you know, the New Balance intern, committed to Syracuse, never played college basketball. Who is this guy? And kind of fit like Sam Presti's mold that he always wants, like a long rangy guy who, you know, doesn't really have a refined offensive game. But because of his build, I mean, he's 6'8". Like, I think that gives him almost a higher ceiling than a guy like Lu Dort. Lu Dort's probably better now, has a higher floor, but Baisley's ceiling has got to be pretty high.
Yeah, he definitely has a lot going for him. You know, we've seen obviously this huge improvement offensively, but I think defensively he's going to be a guy. I mean, you mentioned today that he played some point guard. He also guarded the center position. Yeah. So this is a guy that has a lot of, you know, dexterity, I think, on the floor. He can do a lot of different things. Now, you don't want long-term for him to be your point guard or long-term for him to guard the center position, but he can flex and do those things. And having that kind of ability, I think really, again, makes him more valuable to this team now as they head towards the playoffs and in the future. But I'm curious to see sort of, once we figure out the playoff matchup by the end of this week, you know, how will he fit in? It's so hard to know right now because we don't have, you know, the months of buildup, and, you know, it's such a different scenario that Billy Donovan's working through with resting guys. And, you know, it doesn't look as though he's really trying to lock this team into a certain spot in the standing. So he just wants them to be at max starting in the playoffs. So sort of getting a sense of, okay, what's Billy gonna, you know, what's his rotation? I don't really know, but I think, you know, looking at the teams that are likely to be playoff opponents for the Thunder, you gotta think Baisley fits in it, a lot of them, you know, because you're looking at some teams that, you know, if it's Denver, they're gonna have, you know, a variety of guys that can really move around and stretch you on the defensive end. He can get out and guard a lot of positions. Rockets would be the same way. Utah would be potentially the same way. So I think there's definitely going to be a place for him. And if he can shoot it with the same kind of increased consistency, you know, that's just going to continue to help his chances to stay on the floor longer for this team.
Yeah, it's a really good point about the playoff matchups. I think like for his skill set, like the Rockets would make a lot of sense to play him. I mean, when the Rockets go small and maybe you don't want a guy like Steven Adams or Nerlens Noel on the floor, because who are they going to guard if the Rockets go small? It's like Darius Bazley is a perfect small ball center. That's what he's been. That's what he played the last two games. You know, he's naturally the backup power forward to Gallinari. But, you know, as we've seen, Noel miss some games, Adams miss some games. It's like they trust him being that undersized five man. So, yeah, that's going to be really interesting. And just last thing on him, we talked to Chris Paul and Darius Bazley after the game. And it's been a theme throughout the season that Chris Paul has mentored, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Darius Bazley. When they made their first trip to L.A., those three flew out together ahead of the team because, you know, Chris just wanted to spend some more time with them and introduce them to his family. I think it's really interesting, given a 15-year age gap between Chris Paul and Darius Bazley, like, and Chris not really being a part of this team's future. I mean, maybe for the next couple of years, who knows? But that he's, like, invested in these young guys is like, it's very interesting to me.
Yeah, you know, and I think, too, it may, like, the Shai-Chris connection makes a ton of sense because of the position and, you know, sort of that veteran and the new age guy, the next generation guy. But Bazley not playing that position, for Chris to have really, you know, poured into him as just a veteran talking to a young guy in the league, I think that really, it is really cool. I mean, it's not what you would expect by any stretch of the imagination for a lot of reasons, but, you know, Shai, I get it's the Bazley, it doesn't, you sort of have, you know, sort of some synapses that wouldn't seem to connect, but pretty clearly he has really taken those guys in. And I know Dort is another one he seems to have, you know, sort of have around, whether it's, you know, going to game, other seeding games or.
Yeah,
or
those four were together at that Lakers-Clippers game to start this restart.
Yeah, none of those guys combo age are younger than Chris, but, you know, it's kind of in that range of, like, do the
pretty
math.
Close.
Like, close.
That's funny. A couple more things just to note from this game. We, you know, one of the things we learned is, you know, we got to see some guys that normally don't play in big amounts. Abdul Nader started today, played 26 minutes. He probably was one of the Thunder's better players today. 15 points, 6 of 9 shooting. He made 2 of his 4 threes. Terrence Ferguson played 17 minutes. Andre Robertson played 13 minutes after missing a game due to foot soreness. To me, like, you know, Diallo is still sort of ahead in that rotation when we're talking about the wings. Nader seems to be next. Ferguson has really lost his footing, I think, in the rotation. And Robertson, still don't know, you know, it's encouraging that he's still playing. He's another guy. I have no idea what his role for the playoffs might be. What did you sort of make of that grouping, the, you know, Nader, Diallo, Ferguson, Robertson?
I think I had that thought today about Ferguson, just how he really seems to have fallen, you know, sort of in the pecking order. And I'm not real sure. I mean, it's not to say that those other guys aren't playing well in that sort of role, but, you know, he's a guy that's a starter, you know. Yeah. Seems like a million years ago now with the pandemic, but it wasn't really that long ago that he was a starter for Billy Donovan. So, you know, I know that guys come along and they take advantage and they move into that spot, but that's been a real mystery to me. I really thought he was going to be a guy moving forward who would be a sort of, you know, a mainstay sort of guy. And he just seems to have, I don't know what it is, Joe. I wish I had a better answer, but no, I think you're right. I think that's the biggest surprise of the group. But then the question mark for me is, where does he fit in the playoffs? Is there a matchup again? Is there a matchup where he could come in handy and give them some good minutes? I would guess there probably would be. It's just going to be really fascinating to watch that once the playoffs start.
Yeah, and he's almost playing. He's almost like a Darius Bazley in how he's playing defensively, because we were so used to over the years seeing Robertson lock down the opposing team's best perimeter guard. I don't know if it's how he feels or, you know, what the medical staff trusts him to do, but he's playing a different position now. He's mainly guarding bigger guys, not having to move as quick laterally, probably easier on his knee for sure. But he's certainly got the size at 6'7" to do that. So he's a guy that I think they will play in certain matchups, but I don't think we're going to see like big minutes from him or like him making a push to get that starting spot back. Like Lu Dort is clearly the starter. They trust him to play against the opposing team's best offensive player. And I think I still like Nader out of that group because he's a really good shooter. He was in a bad funk before today, but made some shots. So I think he can help. And then also, you know, cool for guys like Kevin Hervey and Devin Hall, who haven't really had opportunities the whole season, just end up the bench guys. And suddenly if you have six guys out, everyone's going to get a chance to play in this like very strange scenario. So it's like always something new in the bubble.
Billy Donovan's like looking down to the Suns bench, asking Monty Williams if he wants to check in. Yeah. You got your shoes, Monty? You ready to go?
Let's talk about Monty a little bit, because the Suns are still undefeated in the bubble. Probably the best story in basketball right now. Tons of Thunder connections with that staff. You know, Billy and Monty are pretty close. It's Jenny, I mean, just what do you make of the job that Phoenix has done? I mean, they had like a 1% chance to make the playoffs, and now they're still fighting for that play-in tournament.
I did not see them factoring into this at all. I think I even wrote before the restart, like, who could fight for that play-in game? And it just, I mean, it seemed like them and the Spurs were just pretty unlikely to be.
The numbers didn't even add up to, like, justify why they were there.
No, and I mean, I just didn't think that they would be in there at all. I should have known better that the Spurs would have figured out a way to make a push. Of course, they're the Spurs, duh. But I do the Suns have been a huge surprise, with the exception of TJ Warren, who, wow, still on fire for the Indiana Pacers.
Who the Suns traded last summer, crazy enough.
Oh, my gosh.
Get him on. Favorites with TJ Warren.
Holy cow. He's trying to make the playoffs so he can kick the Suns' butt if they can somehow stay hot. The Suns have been it's a remarkable story. I didn't think that they would factor in at all. And they've been great. I mean, obviously, you know, the restart games, everybody's not playing everybody. But still, for them to be sitting 6-0, it's no small thing, because you know they're playing some desperate ball, and so they know they need to play well, and they have. And you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with that play-in scenario. We already know we're going to have one. It's going to be Saturday, and if a second game's necessary, Sunday. But the who? I mean, I really thought by now we would know not only if we were going to have the play-in game, but who was going to be in it, and we still don't know. It's still very much up in the air at this point who plays in that 8-9 game. I'm fascinated to see what happens here.
It's so close. And, you know, I know some people were a fan of the play-in idea. Some people weren't. I think it's going to end up being very cool. And I like that, you know, you still have an advantage as the 8th seed. You only have to win one game, whereas if you're 9th, you have to win two games to get that 8th seed. So Memphis, Portland, Phoenix, San Antonio – they're all within one game of each other. Four teams within one game with maybe two or three to play depending on the schedule. So, yeah, that tiebreakers are going to come into play. Winning percentage is going to come into play because not everyone has played the same amount of games because of the season shutdown. So that's going to be fascinating to watch.
And how couldn't you feel good about Monty Williams potentially getting his bunch? Even, I mean, if they make it or not, like – you just, like, what a story. I mean, obviously people here in Oklahoma City know his history. Was here while he was here, family involved in a, you know, what became a fatal car wreck, lost his wife. An unbelievably moving moment when he spoke during her service. Just the fortitude that he showed in those moments, and since, you know, basically stepped away from coaching to be with his kids for an extended period. Only got back into it after, you know, quite some time. And now has really, you know, you wonder, you know, Draymond Green made headlines the other day talking about, you know, Devin Booker needs to get out of Phoenix and blah, blah, blah. But you look at Booker, Ayton, and coached by Monty Williams, that's a pretty good start on a franchise getting their legs back under them, Joe.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, some other – Mikal Bridges looks like he's going to be a pretty good young player, their first-round pick this year. So, you know, obviously Phoenix is not known as a good franchise, bad ownership, but you got to love what Monty is doing and just his leadership. And it's – like, this is – like you said, it's no small thing. It's not just like, you know – The Suns have been handed everything. They've had to win all these games. Now they got pretty fortunate today, but a lot of teams have. Like a lot of teams are resting players at this point, and you know you can't really predict that. But for Phoenix, today really was a best case scenario. They were in must win situation. The Thunder clearly not. I think what we learned today is the Thunder doesn't really care what seed it gets. Right. I mean, what do you? It doesn't seem like, unless they're thinking several steps ahead of everyone, I don't think that they're trying to lose to play Utah or Denver or Houston. I just think they're resting guys and they don't really care what the matchups turn out to be.
No, I agree with that, Joe. And, you know, I think, you know, do they in their heart of hearts maybe have a matchup that they would prefer? I'm sure. You know, I mean, like you were mentioning the Jazz, you know, being without – their sharpshooter, that, you know, that changes some things. But when you look at how things could change, I mean, the Clippers and Nuggets are separated by only a game as we sit here talking right now. That could flip pretty easily. You know, the Rockets and the Thunder are a game and a half apart, so it would be hard, but, you know, stuff could happen. Thunder and Jazz are only a half game separated. You know, there's so many moving parts. I mean, I think for a long time people were thinking, you know, avoid 7 and 8, but you know, the Clippers, what if they fold a 3 and suddenly, you know, you've said, oh, okay, well, we'll avoid 7 and 8 and you're in 6 and suddenly you find yourself against the Clippers.
Yeah.
So there's just so much room to move. I think maybe Billy Donovan has looked at that, as coaches have looked at that and said, you know what? Let's just get ourselves in the best shape, you know, maybe not position, not in terms of seating positioning, but position in terms of how they feel, how they're playing, how healthy guys are, making sure they're sharp, but not, you know, not overly burdened by playing time, just managing it in a way that they feel they can play at their peak when it comes to playoff time. Yeah, I think that seems to me, you know, granted, the Suns came into today playing really well, but if you've got all your guys, that's a game you feel like if you're the Thunder, you can win. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you roll out Shea and Steven, and, you know, even if Dennis
if half those guys are available, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, if you only have, like, you know, two starters or one starter and Schroeder out, you know, you feel like you've got a pretty good chance to win that ball game today. So, you know, yeah. So I think this is the Thunder saying, all right, we just want to be as ready as we can be, and then whoever we match up with, let's go play ball.
Yeah, and it's like, I get that there's only two games left, so, you know, a lot of people are saying, okay, they're trying to get this matchup. Like, the math is still pretty tricky at this point, even with, like, there's so many variables. You also don't know if teams behind you or above you are also going to rest all of their players. So, like, even if you rest and lose, they could rest and lose. So, it's too tricky at this point to figure it out. Now, I think we might see some funny business in the last seeding game for everyone. Like, if they know, hey, if we lose, we're going to avoid the Clippers, you probably try to do that at all costs, because you certainly don't want that matchup. But also, like, this is a Thunder team that probably would not be a favorite in any first-round matchup. Maybe against the Jazz they would. So it's like the Thunder's really not in a position to try to, like, determine who they want to play in the first round. Regardless, you get the Clippers or the Lakers in the second round probably. So, you know, definitely try to win a first-round matchup. But I don't think they're running the numbers at this point in, like, tried to lose on purpose to the Suns today. I truly think it was, hey, some of these guys are banged up. Maybe they're not that banged up and they just need to rest. So they rested.
Yeah. And I mean, think about if you're you've sort of been, you know, have this or that that needs, you know, some time, if you rest today, you know, you're looking at 2 days between games, which mm-hmm. they haven't had. You know, it's only been a day off. So like Shea, having played yesterday, you know, give him sort of that extra day of, you know, getting rested, getting ready. I don't, and I'm with you, Joe. I don't think any of these are like sound the alarm. Somebody's not going to be able to play. You know, I fully expect if today would have been the first day of the playoffs, you know, obviously Schroeder's, you know, he's out of the bubble, or if he's back, he hasn't gotten through quarantine yet, that he might've been unavailable, but everybody else I think would have been healthy enough to play if the playoffs had started today, but it's not where they were. So they didn't have to.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think all of those guys minus Schroeder would have been available. We got a little news today. I mean, that Thunder Clippers game without a game time was finally announced. So that's going to be a 5:30 p.m. Central Time game on ESPN. First up, it's the Heat on Wednesday, then the Clippers on Friday. It's a pretty tough schedule to close it out. But again, like, you don't know where the Clippers might be at the end of that, who they're going to rest. But definitely, you know, have the Paul George, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander storylines there. So it should be a fun two games to finish out this seeding schedule. And I don't know about you, but I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I think the games have been super high quality. I think the presentation has been amazing. I just think the NBA has done like a superb job. And I'm not just like giving it up to them to give it up to them, but I think they've done about as good as they can with this situation.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe. The basketball has been way higher quality than I was anticipating. You know, it's hard to know. I mean, these guys have been away from competitive basketball for so long. Coming back to, you know, train with varying degrees of, you know, access to all sorts of things. You know, how are they going to be? What's it going to look like? It's been really entertaining. I mean, we've seen sort of all sorts of different kinds of games. We've seen some crazy high scoring games. You know, we've seen overtimes. We've seen crazy shots.
A lot of fouls.
I mean, there's definitely some things that I think when the playoffs start, we'll start to see even a raising of quality. But yeah, there's been a lot of whistles. There's been some games where I've thought this game's going to take forever.
Have you heard the theories that like refs hear everything now, so they can like hear the contact because there's no one in the seats? So they're like, "Oh, I heard the slap. I'm blowing the whistle."
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. It has been interesting to have the you know, you can hear like when the refs come over to the table to review something. It feels
very helpful.
In a weird way, it feels almost more intimate as a at-home viewer. I don't know if maybe I just needed live sports in my life, and I'm like, whatever. But it almost feels more intimate. Like you're more aware of the players on the bench and what they're saying, and the players on the court, what they're doing. You're not distracted by, are there people in the stands? Is there the gal with the beer tray spilling on the floor? Like, I mean, for whatever reason, the play has been good. And yeah, I've been impressed by, a lot of things. Frankly, I was a little worried about the hope of this thing going off when Lou Williams got out of the bubble and went to get wings / visited a topless bar. That seemed to be like, oh boy, this could go south really fast. Yeah. Somebody is a knucklehead and does something dumb and doesn't get caught because their stupid friend put their picture on Instagram. I thought, oh gosh, this is destined to fail. But since then, maybe that was the wake-up call. Maybe that was the thing everybody thought, oh gosh, we need, you know, this could go bad quick. We need to make sure we don't do that. Maybe that was helpful ultimately. But again, what you said initially, totally agree with. Good basketball, fun games for the most part, have had very few times when it's been a snooze. So yeah, totally agree with you on all those counts.
Yeah, so it's, you know, two seeding games left for the Thunder. The bubble is about to get a lot smaller here in a week or so, 22 teams down to 16. So Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Thunder Buddies podcast, and we'll be back with you in a couple days to recap the Thunder's game against the Heat. So we'll see you then.